So Luke chapter 2 again. And one more time on Sunday in Luke chapter 2, and then we'll go back to our normal routine. We'll be back in Numbers. But Luke chapter 2 tonight, and you know the story. We've read it enough times, but we'll read it again because it's such a wonderful account. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." So we get this great picture, this announcement, this calling, this appearing, miraculous appearing in the heavenly places to the people that were there. And what we have to remember, too, is not all of them were saved. They all weren't looking for the Lord. They were just thinking, this is just another night. There's just a lot of people around because there's the government's at work again. And there's always a lot of people around when the government's at work. But here they are in that place of just realizing that something is going on. The shepherds saw it, the heavenly host announcing it. All the angels coming to just minister to mankind that God is doing a great work. God is doing an awesome work for people, not for himself. He didn't do this for himself. He did it for us. And he came as a baby. And nobody can figure out why would the Lord do this for us and come as a baby? Why that way? Don't know. We sure have a lot of assumptions, don't we? That we think he did it so that we'd pay attention, so that he could relate to us a little bit better, so that he would put himself at our disposal. Can you imagine God coming in the flesh and putting himself at your disposal? Here, take me with you during your day. Really? Lord, how about just to church? I'm holy then. I look good. I'm dressed up. Even Kevin got dressed up tonight. Miracles still happen, see? Things are going on. Everything's going on. Everything's happening, but God came as a babe, and he comes to that place, and the shepherds come, they're in awe, they're awestricken by the things that are going on. They even left their flocks and came to the manger, which shepherds don't do. But they left their flocks, came to the manger, were in awe of what was going on, and left again. Poor Mary, she just had a baby, and visitors come. And I see the looks on people's faces when I go up to the hospital after a baby's born and go busting into the room. It's just like, more people. I don't want more people. I want to rest. I just want sleep. I'm hurting. I'm sore. Leave me alone. I've seen the faces, but the joy that's on people's faces, they see this baby. They're in awe that this baby will someday grow up to be like you and I, look like us, walk around this earth, be in this place. But he had more of an impact than anyone ever in the world. We remember his name, especially at Christmas. People try and forget his name. They try and cross it out of accounts. That's why we say Happy Holidays now. Or some say Happy Holidays. I just look at him and say, I can still say Merry Christmas. Because it is about Christ. It's not about a holiday. It's about a person. And that's what people want to forget who don't want to know Jesus, who don't want to be accountable for their sin, is they want to forget about Christ. And you can forget about him while you're here a little bit, but you're going to meet him one day as you stand before the throne for judgment. Oh. But in this account, they come forward. They're in awe. They're adoring the one that's here. Just like you and I adore things that come into our lives. We adore a new car till it gets the first dent or it won't start. We adore a baby till the baby grows up and becomes a teenager or hits the terrible twos, whichever one first. We adore our spouses at the wedding altar. And then the real life starts. And the adoration kind of slips a little bit. It gets tarnished a little bit. It gets familiar a little bit. But the one thing that we want to remember is not to let this adoration of who Jesus is tarnish or diminish in our lives, because this is the one person we want to know. This is the one person we need to know for salvation. This is the one person we need to know because we're going to be before him for eternity, worshiping him and praising him. And we don't want that adoration to fade. You can adore a new puppy till it gets you up five nights in a row. Right, Randy? Then you don't adore a new puppy so much. It's just like, hey, you, get out of the way. Go to sleep, will you? But in that place, we just see these things and we realize how quickly our adoration slips from us and goes to another place. But the things that God wants us to love, the person that God wants us to love, the issues that are before us that God wants us to have love in are the things that only he can equip us with. We don't have the love or the adoration that will be sustained forever unless God gives it to us. That's why we need to make ourselves available to him and realize that he came to do that work in our lives. He wants to bring to us those things that we don't have in this natural form, because only the Holy Spirit can give us those things. If you go back a little bit into chapter 1, we see Zacharias, in starting in verse 67, if you would catch up with me here, it said, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied. So here's this man who's going to be the father of John the Baptist. He's having a baby. He's excited. The Lord is ministering to him. But he says this, he prophesies, he gives out God's word, he brings forth God's word, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. And this is one reason we keep encouraging you to stay in your Bibles, because Zacharias knew what the prophets said. The Lord gave him wisdom and understanding as he drew closer to the Lord. The Lord gave him understanding about what those prophets were saying. Remember Daniel? He's in Babylon, and they're in captivity. They're going through, and all of a sudden Daniel goes, hey, 70 years are almost accomplished. We're going to get freed by Babylon because Jeremiah the prophet said so. Because he was in the Word, he got revelation from the Lord about what the word meant, about what it was, and how to be sustained in the midst of it, and it encouraged him. And what did he do? He got to encourage the rest of Israel that was there. Not all of them listened, but that's not his problem. That's their problem. And tonight, here we are in this place and looking at this birth of Jesus, and we go, oh boy, that's the pastor's problem. No, it's our problem, isn't it? Because we're before the one who was prophesied to be born and we're before him now, sitting before him. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows our names. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows all of those things that are going on in our hearts even right now. And he says, I want to deal with my people. And he isn't going to deal with you through me. He's going to deal with you through you. I got enough to deal with the Lord. I got a whole list. But the Lord wants to minister to each and every one of us. But the wonderful thing is we have this whole account. We have this whole love letter that God has written to us. And yet it's a love letter that we don't often want to read because it's too boring. There's too many accounts. There's too many things to remember. And really, it's nothing that we have to remember. It's something that we should be having written on the tables of our heart just to be before us so that we can know his presence, so that we can know his love, so that we can know the accounts that he's left for us. This birth is just such a wonderful thing for us because it just signifies that God has come to do a work in people's lives. And Mary and Joseph are just starting to learn about it. He didn't take away the trials. Remember, they've just come 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey. And it says that she was great with child. You ladies know what great with child means. It means you don't move much. And she's on a donkey, bouncing up and down the hills, because donkeys are not the smoothest ride. They don't have a suspension system that takes care of all the bumps. The donkeys don't care about the bumps. Oh, they're just starting to learn what all of this means. And some of you are going through the bumps in the road yourselves, and you're just starting to learn what it means to walk with Jesus. You're just starting to learn to know what it is to have a relationship with the Lord that doesn't take away the bumps and the heartaches and all the issues that come with it. But we also have to realize that we have a God who is with us, because that's what Emmanuel means, God with us, that he's with us in the midst of it. You're not alone in your trials. You're not alone in the things that are going on in your life. He's with you, and he loves you, and he wants to take care of you. And he's given us the greatest gift that anyone could ever give us. And I just want to take a couple of seconds. We're going to be brief. Kevin smiles. We're going to be brief, as brief as we can be in the midst of this. But listen to what it says. I'll just do a couple scriptures. If you want to write them down and look at them later, that would be great. But in Luke, in the same gospel, in chapter 24, it says this in verses 46 and 47. He says, and he said unto them, thus it is written that and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That number three in scripture is an important number. You know it, remembered. 3 days, three nights in the belly of the whale, 3 days, three nights in the tomb of the earth. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he says here the same thing that Zechariah said. He's visited the people, he's redeemed his people, and he's raised up a horn of salvation. So we've got this picture going on that the gift that Jesus came to give us was redemption. Redemption from what? Redemption from sin. Redemption from the wages of sin, because it tells us in the Gospel of John that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, this baby that was come. That's the gift. And we all look for gifts on Christmas. We all want a gift. But the greatest gift that we could ever have is forgiveness from sin. Oh, and he's come to deliver that gift to you and I. Man wants to be forgiven for the things that they've done wrong. Our sins haunt us, don't they? The enemy still brings up to me the things I did as a kid, as a young adult. The things that I did were awful. The things that I did that were terrible. The things that I did that still cause consequences to happen in my life. As I see them and the enemy just flashes them before me and says, see, you're not such a hotshot, are you? I've never been a hotshot since Jesus came in. There was a picture, Chris Mitchell from CBN was going through and showing the church at Bethlehem. And the only door in at the church at Bethlehem is a door that's about this high. And they made it that way on purpose. because it makes us humble, because you have to humble yourself to stoop down and to enter into the church. Humility is one of the first things that we learn as Christians, is that we need to be humble because we're not all that we thought that we were. But God wants to raise us up, and he wants to redeem us from that place. And that is such a wonderful gift. It goes on, and there's an interesting thing that happens here. As we go, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7, he says this, in whom we have redemption, speaking of Jesus, of course, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, yeah, that's the picture that we've just read in the account of Luke. Is we've seen that God wants redemptions for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we see this place about the remission of sins. We see this place about the forgiveness of sins. And all those are the same word in the Greek, aphesis, A-P-H-E-S-I-S, which means, it's just a wonderful thing. It means freedom and pardon. Freedom from sin and pardon from sin. And it's such a cool word, because not only do we have freedom that we don't have to sin because of what Jesus did for us, we have the pardon of sin that keeps us from the issues of the past that would hold on to us and drag us down and destroy us, because Jesus came to free us from those. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so he's come to show us this wonderful picture, that we can have freedom from sin, freedom from the past, and freedom from where we are right now, so that we might enter into our future with him. This pardon that we have, this gift that we have, all tied up in a bow. But it says in the account in Luke chapter 2 that he came to all people. It wasn't just the church people. It wasn't just to the shepherds. It wasn't just to those that were looking for him. He came to all people, and he showed it by appearing to the shepherds, who were in no wise looking for a savior, looking for a king. They were outcasts. They were dysfunctional. I guess we're all shepherds then, right? Because we're all pretty much dysfunctional in one place or another. We're dysfunctional. But Jesus has come to set us free from the consequences of that, and to give us direction, to give us hope. And a little child shall lead them, it tells us in the scriptures in the Old Testament, in the picture of Jesus just leading the people. Oh, as a little child to an adult to a Savior. God, that's an amazing account that you give us of what you've done for us. You must have had a great love for us. You must have had a great love for us that you would plan all of this out and give us a sign. It says in the account in Luke chapter 2 that he gave the shepherds a sign. You're going to see this sign. It's going to be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. There probably wasn't too many babies born in a manger. In fact, we only know of one, right? That's the only one we remember. There might have been others, but we don't remember them. We don't know their names, but we know his name. But you can know about his name, or you can know his name. Because the word know in Scripture is gnosis. It means you know it because it's indwelt in you. It's with a purpose and a plan, and you just don't know about it, but you know it in your heart. You know it in your life. And I think the call for Christianity is not for us just to know that we have forgiveness of sin, but to know the one who brought it. We just don't want to know that we've been forgiven of our sins. We want to know the one who's forgiven us. That's the important thing. Certainly it's great to know that we're forgiven of our sins and their past, and we don't want to enter back into them again. There's direction for us. There's protection for us. There's keeping of us, and that's a wonderful thing. But we want to know the one who does all of that. When you get married to somebody, you just don't want to know how much money they have in the bank, even though some do. You don't want to know their history. You want to know that person now. And for us, I think that's a call for the church, because the church is losing it. We're not in a place where we know so much who Jesus is. We just know about Jesus. That's why we come on Sundays and Wednesdays, so that we can learn about Jesus. But to know him is a lot different than just reading about him. To know him in your everyday life, in the bumps that you encounter along the way, in the trials that you encounter along the way, to know that Jesus, and not just to know him, but then to act like him. Because we're supposed to be disciples of Christ, ones that are learning about him and then following the pattern. Because what is he doing? He's conforming us to his image. And as you look at Christmas tomorrow, can you say, I'm more conformed this Christmas to the image of Jesus, to my spouse, to my home, to my work, to my family, than I was last year? Or do I know less? And I think the call for the church is we need to know him more. And what are we going to do with it then? There's Christians in Nigeria that this past year, the accounts differ so many, but there's been thousands of Christians killed just this year in Nigeria just because they worship Jesus. Do you know Jesus well enough to know that he can sustain you in the midst of that? Or do you have enough trouble with Jesus just to keep you through the argument that you've had with your spouse today? It's an important thing for today. It's an important thing for a lifetime. Because he's coming to get us soon. Because he loves us. He came once and he said, I'm going to come back again. Are you looking for that coming? Are you looking for him? Not just the coming, but are you looking for him? Wouldn't it be great if we got raptured out of here tomorrow? That would surprise the world. Where'd they go? But just to remember, he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. You may be so distraught over the way things look right now. The money isn't there. The job isn't there. The life isn't there. The disease is there. The hurt is there. The hurts of the past. Doesn't feel like you've accomplished anything in your life, but you know what? If you know Jesus, you've accomplished everything that he set forth to do in your life. Because if you know him, you have everything that you need. You're not taking your job to heaven with you. And some of you go, thank goodness. Don't want that job coming to heaven with me. He has a great plan for your life. He has a great love for you right where you are right now. Can you enjoy it? Or is it a challenge for you to enjoy what he's doing in your life? Let him love you, because in the midst of it, you'll be content and satisfied with everything that's going on in your life right now. If you're content with Jesus, you have everything you need. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, that you would just minister to us, that you'd speak to our lives, Lord, that you'd speak to us in the midst of this as we hear the piano play, as we listen, Lord, as we sit before you, to realize that you've done an awesome work in our lives, that you have an awesome plan, that you have a great plan. And it's such a great plan that you spent eons of years and years in our time, because you're outside of time, but you spent all those times planning things for us, setting those things in motion for us. You brought us here in this world for such a time as this, and we don't know the plan that you have, but we want to learn from you, because you have the only way that's right. So teach us how to get there, Lord. Minister to us, and help us to remember tonight, Lord, all that you've done for us, so that we might walk in your ways. We love you, we thank you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, just so thankful that we can take communion on a night like this, Lord, just remembering your birth, remembering what it brought to us, Lord, the precious gift of life that you want to give each and every one of us. There can be nothing better than to know that we have real life. We thank you, Lord, for it, but we realize that there was a cost involved, and that cost was your life. You really came to die. Lord, thank you that you purposed, that you went through with it all the way, that you didn't hesitate, Lord. We hold in our hands these elements, Lord, that just remind us of what that crucifixion cost you. Your body broken, your body pierced, as we hold the bread, hold the cup, and just realize your blood that was poured out, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no taking away of sin. There has to be a sacrifice. And Lord, you came to be that sacrifice. Tell us in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats just don't make it. They don't cut it. They're not the ultimate sacrifice that's necessary to take away the sin of mankind. But Lord, your blood covered all of that. So thank you for the shedding of your blood, Lord. We have such a precious gift within us, because if we're born again now of your Spirit, you indwell us, and we hold that precious gift within us. May we hold it as precious. May we adore it as precious. May we stand in awe of that precious gift that you've given us, Lord, not just for a couple of days, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but, Lord, every day, because you gave us life for every day, not just for one day out of the year or one day out of the week, but for every day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious life. We love you, we thank you, and we take these now in remembrance of you and what you've done, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake.